I am, hello. It works. That's rather unusual, really. I would, it's soccer day, yes, I know, but it's really Jesus Day, and that's what this is all about. I am getting out my socks, sunglasses. I am ready to roll here, but more than that, I have other things that I'm going to be bringing out this morning if they appear. I'm missing my flashlight, there it is. All right. Now, today what we're going to do, we're still in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, the good news that Luke was telling. We'll remember that in all likelihood he was a physician, he was brilliant, he was organized, he's a truth teller. His corpus, his body of work is very precise, so precise in fact that people in modern times have watched and learned from his model about the roots through this part of the Middle East and have found that they are precise in the same way his descriptions were. For many years, people didn't know where certain cities were, couldn't find them, said Luke was wrong. And then later, Sir William Ramsay went through a lifetime of looking at it and found that Luke was entirely accurate about what he said, disprovably accurate in the precision of what he says. And then he describes miracles, which is, oh, come on, hang on a second here. It's fine to be good about your geography and your towns and certain personalities and kings and dates, etc. But raising the dead, but healing the sick, but having an amazing story portrayed, that's a little different. Understood. I come from the background of being an evangelical atheist. So I understand unbelief. The problem I have is this right here. Can anybody see this? You guys see this pretty clearly? I was blind. Not literally blind, but spiritually blind. And my heart was as dark as this flashlight. It was also as hard as this flashlight. This is one of these military-type flashlights, right? They advertise somewhere. And I got two of them because they were on sale. But is it pretty bright? I mean, does it bug you? Is it irritating, I hope? Okay, it is irritating a little bit. But not only irritating, it's much more wondrous than that. There's something beautiful about it. Now, I came this morning to a morning of soccer, and as I observed people coming in today, it's funny. I don't know what this is about, but a lot of people were like, there were some crutches and there were some ankles, and a guy, I'm in the restroom and a guy goes, I can't walk. And I'm like, you know, who is this person? And he had played soccer Tuesday night, and it had been years since he'd played. And he, you know, he's doing the robot man walk after this. So I assume there are some soccer players here this morning. I could tell by your injuries. Welcome. Right now, I am wearing a shirt that I'm about to change, but this guy here is Lionel Messi. I wear this because, okay, let's not start an argument. I'm going to be talking about this. Do nothing with disputation. We're to be gentle and loving. And so when we argue soccer, let us be delicate in what we say and kind. When I say this is the greatest player who has ever lived, don't throw rocks and stuff at me, okay? But if you look him up on Netflix, the Messi thing, you will see a miracle. His grandma told him when he was a little tiny boy, he's also a little tiny adult, he's 5'3", and he's out of the World Cup, I got that. But that he was going to be, his grandmother told him this, the greatest soccer player in the world. I mean, look at the special. And when Messi would get a goal or do something, he would go like this, both to the Lord and to his grandma, who loved him and imprinted this thing on him. Oh, it's a miraculous world. It's a miraculous world. The fact that we live and breathe and can see, the miracle of our eyes and the distances coordinated with the lenses and the different optics inside these things. It's unbelievable what this creation has and expresses. It seems to scream to me, at least now, in my non-atheistic state, a design, a purpose, something going on. So, I'm going to read a little, then I'm going to change my jersey. No one, after lighting a lamp, bing, Luke is writing, Jesus has been speaking and teaching people, discipling people, hopefully giving them information to make them more like him. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar. Can you see the lamp? Or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. He's saying, listen carefully to what I'm saying. The riddle of the universe is embedded in what I'm saying. That's really what he's saying. That's really what he's expressing. It's a love letter. The gospel means good news. Gospel means good news. And he's telling us something about the love of God. But he's saying that we've been like this guy here. I brought this in specially. I'm sure I would not wear this at night. But yeah, I do sometimes. And right now, you guys love me? Do you? I'm in darkness. Could somebody help me? Something bad might be about to happen. You know, there was a wonderful woman. She was a missionary. She went to an outdoor porch, and she leaned out over it in the dark of night, and there was no rail there, and she fell to her death. That's a sad story, my wife says, and she's right. You're so gloomy, Bill. I know that. But what is really gloomy is to not know that the light has come into the world. And the scripture says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Why do people not come to Jesus? I mean, who's better than Jesus? Who died and rose again for our salvation, for our renewal, for our makeover, to take the mask off us and the darkness off us, to keep us from falling off a cliff? Who loves you like Jesus does? Who warns you over and over like he does? He says, be careful how you hear what I'm saying. This is salvific, big word, meaning this will make you whole, what I'm saying to you. And you're not fooling anybody. There's a God that sees your every activity. As they say of Santa Claus, he knows when you are sleeping, he knows when you're awake, he knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. I like that. And one day the scripture says everyone will know everything, essentially. Right now. We know our own faults and weakness. For some of us, it's still profound. It's a journey that is only half accomplished. We're like Frodo on a terrifying journey with temptations on every side and wicked voices talking to us. And we really need help. We need Samwise Gamgee. Okay, who's seen it? I'm sorry to go here right now. Is this too much for you guys? Is this on an intellectual plane that's too high, bringing in Lord of the Rings and messy? I don't think so. But the whole idea is there's a Mount Doom out there waiting for us, but there's also a wonderful change possible in the love of Jesus Christ. And it starts out by seeing the light. I once was lost, but now I'm found. John Newton, the slave trader, said, was blind, but now I see. No one puts this thing under a bushel or a basket. It doesn't cover it up because you can't see what is dark. You'll remember Indiana Jones. There's this place in the story when you see Raiders of the Lost Ark, and he opens this kind of cavern in the ground, and he looks down, and he really can't see anything. It's dark. And so someone takes a light. It's a torch, and peers down into it, and he says, the floor is moving. Do you remember that? The floor is moving? And then they drop him down into it, and it's filled with vipers, right? Remember that? It's dark, and it's dark out here. This generation has its problems, don't we? Let's be honest here. There's a lot of snakes out here crawling around. You'll remember him and his girlfriend are dumped down into the pit. And the way they keep stuff away and the way they find their way out is through a torch. It's through the grace of God, we'll call it. It's through a gospel light, I'll call it. A way out, a pathway, a direction. It's a narrow way that leads to Jesus Christ. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar, puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see, so we don't fall off cliffs and get eaten up by wild and crazy snakes. Nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest. Not only do we know ourselves, in a certain sense, our friends really know us. You know, we try to cover up our stuff, and somebody will come to me and go, Bill, you're kind of angry. And what do they know? You know, it's just my wife. She is lovely. But she tells the truth. It's very irritating. And you're grumpy. You're grumpy. One time I said I was a grumpy old pastor, and people thought I'd used a B word in there. It was not good. It was not a happy moment. The fact of the matter is, we know ourselves. In a certain sense, others know us. And one day, every secret will be known. The Bible says that one day we will have to appear before the judge. Here's the good news, because that's scary news. And everything we've done will be known. But there is a righteous judge who comes to look at men. And if he wasn't just, he wouldn't do anything. We'd all just go olly olly income free. But those who are determined to be wicked and to crawl along with the snakes, they're going to have very bad news. The good news is God doesn't want anyone to perish ever. Okay? He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so he brings light to us and our consciences. When our consciences condemn us, when our actions condemn us, all of this stuff, the Bible says this. Here's the good news. If we confess our sins, admit our situation, and believe Christ is the only Savior and choose to follow him, the sins that will be uncovered and blown up one day in some kind of universally public way will be sins forgiven. And all we'll be looking at is some kind of heavenly reward system that is beyond my ability to describe to you. Nothing that is hidden will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not come be known to deny. Take care then how you hear, for the one who has, more will be given, and from one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Then his mother and brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd, and he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you. Now, Jesus loved his mom and his brothers, but he says this, but he answered him, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. There's a family relationship to those who are children of the King. John 8:12 says this again. Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. You know, my flashlight doesn't work unless you push the button. Unless there is some power source within this darkened instrument that makes it light. Jesus not only preached to the crowds, he died, he rose, and he sent his Holy Spirit as a comforter and encourager to be with us forever. He is the battery in the lamp. He is the flame in the torch. He is the flame in the candle that gives us hope and help. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of light. Paul, an expression of the Father, an apostle of the Lord Jesus. That means he's a messenger. He's a guy God chose to tell his world about Jesus after Jesus had risen. And he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He has a battery inside him. The Christian story, the good news is not you just need to get yourself together. The good news is I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. I'm coming inside you. He that is in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. No more darkness, just, hello, read my lips, light. He says, do all things, Paul said to his people, without grumbling or disputing. No long theological arguments about certain points that will never be resolved. What type of baptism, how many dunks, which names you use, immersion, sprinkling, pouring. No, we won't fight that. We want to say to our universe, however, that we belong to Jesus. So in some way, we symbolically paint that picture. But we will not dispute it. We don't go down to the office looking to pick a fight with everyone we see because we're so blooming smart and we have the truth. No, we're gentle. And we stand for something, the Lord Jesus. We stand for him. You know, the other day, and I'm going to take this off so I don't wrap myself in the cord. I hope, however, I have an accord with you, a peace with you, because I want to show you what I did the other day. I was reading a little Spurgeon. He said, don't point to yourself. Why did he say that? Because we're nothing in ourselves. He's everything. But here's what I did, which is pretty crazy. When I came to Christ, I was such a sinner. Still have those kinds of problems to some degree. I was so glad to be saved. What does that mean? Plucked out of the fire of my own making, that I put Jesus on just about everything. Everything. Back then, in that era, some of you will remember it. All for sickness, wherever they were. And then the preachers would cry. Okay, this is interference. Cry bumper sticker Christianity, right? Shallow. You know what I found in life? I think that those who are forgiven much, and I got this from somebody, I think it's the Lord, love much, and they're out there pitching. I never disparage these crazy trucks that have like Jesus stickers all over. I'm not saying to do this, guys. That's not the point. I'm saying those who have been forgiven much love a lot. So some of these people are willing to put Jesus on everything. So the other day, I said, I'm like that. Here's why I'm like that. Because I am a great sinner, say, by the grace of God. And I know a lot of people. I'm an extroverted person on my best days, and I'm proud of it. But I'm also proud of you that are introverted because you accomplish a lot more than me. I'm so easily distracted. So I'm at Kaiser Permanente Woodbridge. And I've been there before many times. You know, some of you that know our medical issues and all that, we live at Kaiser Permanente, okay? Everybody there knows me. The security guy, he's quit watching me. He's just like, get in. And I said, and those who really know me, who talk to me, inevitably, because of Jesus, because I've experienced his grace, I mention some things about the Lord, not in a weird way, not in a Bible belting, you're going to hell kind of way, just a kind of, you know, I am a Christian, blah, blah, whatever the opening is. I'm like a boxer looking for an opening, and I pray the Lord will lead me in the craziness of my conversation. So the other day, I go, okay, I'm going to do it. It's been a long time, because this is one of the saddest t-shirts I have. If you see it, it's all wrapped up around the top, because I played soccer for years until I crushed my foot, and I still used that. I'd be coaching my team, and I couldn't say anything to them, kind of because they were kids or teenagers or whatever they were. But I go onto my field with my friends from different cultures. They're everywhere in the places I played and the places I coached. And I put this on. He's crazy. What's he doing? You know, what does it say? Jesus Christ is life. Es la vida. He's the life. All the rest is just soccer. Okay, it's World Cup Day. Can I say that? Come on, do you still love me? Okay, if you don't love me, that's okay. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So what I did was, I went through Kaiser, wearing my Jesus t-shirt. Honestly, I had grave reservations about this that morning, because I knew that I was kind of putting on my lightsaber. You know, I was bringing on my number one t-shirt, and everybody in this place knows me. And I'd see all kinds of reactions to the light of him. What I was concerned with was when I identify with Christ, I may get some persecution. You always feel like that. But let me tell you what I really got. I got freedom. I got freedom, and I walk through. My Islamic friends are there. They look at me, they look away. Some don't. Then other people, they look at me. And in their heart, they're emboldened because they say somebody's out there pitching. And I'm going to take a stand for Christ. And he said, you are the light of the world. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. I watched a detective the other night going like, oh, are we going to sing Jesus Wants Me for a Sunbeam? Well, thank God he knew that, or the writer of the show knew that. But he wants you for a sunbeam to shine all through the day. That's right. And guess who's going to do the shining? Through you. It's the battery of the power and love of God. Oh, this is a microphone. That won't work. Do all things without grumbling or questioning. That's one thing, without grumbling or disputing. That's one thing that says you're different and sheds some light and illumination in your workplace, even in your home, even with your wife, even with your son who is in a far country, that you may be blameless and innocent. How do we get blameless? Through a good washing, through the washing of the water of the Word. We learn His Word, and little by little, over the whole course of our life, more and more, by an indwelling power, we become more like Jesus, to the extent that people cannot deny that something has happened to this person. He used to be a cripple by the gate, but now he's up and running and leaping for joy. Something has happened to this person. I know what they were like. But it's like there's a light coming out of them. And what is that crazy t-shirt he's wearing? And what does it say? Blameless and innocent children. Childlike faith. I'm going to conclude here pretty quickly. In the midst of a crooked, I think he says this with tears, but no one except Jesus knew it like Paul. He had been beaten from pillar to post. He had been tormented by everyone. And he says, you should be, by the grace of God with his help, blameless and innocent. God makes you blameless through the sacrifice of Christ. He also empowers you to be different, innocent, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Listen to this. Among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast. When you hear it, grip it. Stay with it. Rip it to the word of life. So in the day of Christ, Paul says, I might be proud that I did not run or labor in vain. We do not dispute. We do not grumble because we've been well taught and we've heard his word and we've applied it to our life. And because I know Jesus' mother and brothers at some point come to faith in him. But those who belong to Christ listen very carefully to his teaching and don't lose it. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And the Apostle Paul said about you, in this wicked and twisted, perverted generation, you shine as lights in the world. No grumbling or disputation. Jesus Christ is life, and he's light. All the rest is just soccer. Let's bow our heads to pray. Lord, we thank you that there are some Christian boys on these soccer teams, I'm sure. Bless them, Lord, and let them give some kind of testimony with their life, innocent. No disputation, no grumbling, no fighting over theology, no giving the ref a hard time. God, come upon them and help them. Lord, for this congregation here, if there's anyone here who doesn't know your son Jesus, let them, A, admit they're a sinner. It's just the truth. They know it. Their friends know it, and you know it. B, believe that Christ is the only Savior. There's no one like Jesus who loved you enough to die for you. What more can God say? What more can he do than give himself for your sake and for your salvation? And C, choose in the leading of the Holy Spirit and by the power of the God-given moral free will you have, receive him. Receive him. Choose to follow him. Oh, Lord, be a light unto our path. We pray this, and we pray you'll come into each hungry heart, into each darkened conscience, cleanse, renew, and heal. If their heart has to been to resonate with your heart, bring life and blamelessness, innocence, and light to these thy dear children. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.